Margaret Ashmore has learned to see cancer as a gift.
I would even call it a severe mercy, that God said, Margaret, I want you to go through this. I want to use the treatments to free you, to cure you of deeper things. But also, I want you to be able to comfort others with the same comfort wherewith I have comforted you.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, October 17th. To introduce this week's topic, we'll start with one of our listeners.
Yes, I would just like to say how the Lord has blessed me. I recently discovered that I had breast cancer, and I'm going to have a mastectomy. And I am just amazed at the peace that the Lord has given me through this. And in Philippians, he tells us that we have the peace that passes all understanding. And everybody at work is just amazed. Everybody keeps saying, oh, I'd be a wreck. And I have had a chance to share my faith with so many people. And I just praise him every day. And the love that I am finding from people around me. You can read about this peace that passes all understanding. And you can believe it. But when something like this comes up, it's just such a blessing to know that it's really, really true, and it really, really touched my life.
Here's Nancy.
If you're a woman listening to Revive Our Hearts today, there is about one chance in nine that at some point in your life you will hear a doctor say these words, "You have breast cancer." And even if you never hear those words, it's almost certain that a mother or a sister or a daughter or a close friend will hear those words. We're going to talk today with two women who know a lot about this subject. And as I've gotten to know these two women, I've been so touched by not only their personal experience in this area, but also how they have come to understand something of the heart and the ways of God, not only in relation to cancer, but also in relation to all types of suffering. Margaret Ashmore is a Bible teacher and a conference speaker from the Denton, Texas area. Margaret has become a new friend over the past several months. She's a breast cancer survivor. And Margaret, thank you for being willing to come on Revive Our Hearts today and to help us address this subject from the perspective of your very personal experience.
Thank you, Nancy.
And you've brought with you a friend that I've just had the privilege of meeting, Dr. Sally Knox. Mm-hmm. Dr. Knox is a breast cancer surgeon. Mm-hmm. You practice out of Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas. And Dr. Knox, you've written a book on this subject. The title is?
Breast Cancer Care Book. Yes.
And tell us a little bit about that book and why you came to write it.
I wrote the book so that women that are newly diagnosed in their families could have a resource that they could get through quickly in a couple of days. I mean, there are many books available about breast cancer, but oftentimes they're huge and they have lots of technical details, and a woman who's newly diagnosed is anxious and she just basically needs something very quickly to bring her up to snuff in terms of what are the questions to ask. And then something that I did that's unusual, I would say, is really address the spiritual and emotional issues. Because oftentimes patients will tell me that, yes, the physical battle is difficult in terms of being treated for breast cancer, but it also challenges a lot of our ideas about God and about how He works in our lives and why He would allow a trial like this in our lives. Time and again, I had seen God take these women through the experience, and not usually in the first year, maybe the first 2 years, after the diagnosis, but eventually I had women coming back to me and saying, I wouldn't tell anyone but you this because it just sounds so crazy, but it was the best thing that happened to me. And the reason it was the best thing that had happened in their lives is because it changed their priorities. It caused massive changes in the way they thought. It deepened their relationship with God and on and on. And it became almost a consistent pattern. And I realized I was in a privileged position to see God working over and over in these women's lives. And I wanted to write a book about it so that new women being diagnosed with breast cancer and their families and their friends would know that no one would want this diagnosis. No one would ask for this experience. But here's what God can do if you'll relax and turn it over to Him. It's not that it's easy to go through that experience, But he is able to bring lemonade out of lemon in a way that's just amazing. That none of us can understand his ways, but I've seen his ways, and I know he's trustworthy.
And it's a book that is helpful, not just as it specifically applies to breast cancer, but I found so much in that would be useful for other types of cancer and for other types of suffering as well.
Exactly. I've had patients with other types of cancer, ovarian, men and women both, that have said that the book was useful to them just in terms of suffering and dealing with cancer of any type. There's really only a couple of chapters that are specific only to breast cancer. The rest of it really applies to any kind of cancer.
And it's organized in such a helpful way. It's very readable. And at the end of each chapter, you have definitions of new terms. Some of those terms I think I know how to pronounce.
Right.
But you break them down and help for somebody like myself who's coming out of a background where you don't know a lot about this. And I guess you wouldn't know a lot about it until it's something that really comes into your life.
Right. When you're dealing with cancer in general, or breast cancer specifically, the most empowering thing is information. When you enter into that experience, what's so terrifying about it is you don't know anything about this topic. You're depending upon people you've never met before to make all kinds of life-changing decisions with you and for you. And so people will feel empowered if they can get some information. They say, now I understand that. And so then they go to their physicians, and the questions and the issues that are coming up are things that they've read about, and now they're becoming a little bit familiar. That helps the terror feeling a great deal. Now they can begin to deal with it in a healthy fashion.
The book is called Breast Cancer Care Book, A Survival Guide for Patients and Loved Ones. And it's chock full of practical wisdom and counsel about the decision-making process, the journey of going through the breast cancer process. But it's also full of a lot of just biblical wisdom and insight and comfort and encouragement, both for the patient and for the loved ones.
Right.
And we have here Margaret Ashmore with a life message in this subject. Margaret, how did you first come to hear this diagnosis, and tell us a little bit about the beginning of the journey for you?
Well, Nancy, I had just returned from a mission trip from Africa, and I noticed while I was there my appetite was just not the same. And when I got back to the States, I did what I would encourage every woman to do. I did a self-exam and felt a small lump in my right breast. Well, it just so happened that a very good friend of mine worked at the local hospital, so I called her and said, I think I probably need to come in for a mammogram and diagnosis of this. So I went in, and the friend of mine that actually did the sonogram and the mammogram, she was a good friend of mine. And I'll never forget when I was laying there, they had already done the mammogram and said, well, we think we need to follow up with the sonogram. And when that happens, you know that's probably not real good news. So I remember being on the table and watching her face as she did the sonogram, and I knew I had cancer just by looking at her because we're good friends. And indeed, it was the diagnosis of breast cancer.
Margaret, can I say one thing just because there's a lot of ladies listening to us right now? When you're having a mammogram done, if you have additional tests done, like additional magnification views or sonogram, most of the time that's not going to be cancer. So, I say that because somebody out there is worried that just because she's coming back in for an extra test that means the worst. And most of the time, fortunately, it won't necessarily mean it's a cancer.
Okay. Which is a good word of encouragement.
You bet.
But in your case, it was the diagnosis that you'd feared.
Yes, it was. And a good friend of mine had just gone through this very same thing and recommended Dr. Sally Knox. And so I called and got an appointment in. And I am one of these patients that came back a year or two later and said, this was the best thing that ever happened to me. Dr. Knox, upon my coming into her office, literally took my hands and prayed for me and said, Lord, would you use this for your glory? Well, if I may, I would like to say how this was the best thing for me. Prior to this breast cancer, I have to say that in areas of my Christian life, I considered rather bound. There were some just areas of my life that were not lined up with the scriptures. I was already doing some teaching and already doing a little speaking, and I just realized that I was not giving a life message, that there was something not right. And the reason why this diagnosis was so good for me, I have to use the illustration in scripture of Daniel chapter 3, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through the fire. And it's interesting to me that prior to their going into the fire, we read that they were tied up, bound, and tied up. Four times we read that they were bound. Well, when they got on the other side, you couldn't even smell smoke on their clothing. There was no evidence that they'd been in a fire. But interestingly, when Nebuchadnezzar is looking at them in the fire, he says, I see them loosed and walking about. So the question is, what burned? The bonds that held them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was just one of these people who went to Bible studies. I did all the right things within the church. But yet something wasn't right inside. And God, who loves me and who disciplines his children out of love, said, Margaret, I'm going to allow you to go through a fire because I want to free you. And I think it's important to remember that God puts his children through a fire, not to harm us, but to free us. And all I know to say is that when I came out on the other side of cancer, after losing my hair, after the chemotherapy, after illness, you can look at me now and can't really tell I've been through cancer, but I have to tell you that there was something that was set free in me, that God freed me through that fire. And that's why I say exactly what Dr. Knox said. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. I needed cancer, and it was a great gift from God for me.
Now, we're not suggesting that cancer in and of itself is a good thing. We live in a fallen world. All sickness and disease ultimately is the result of the fact that this is a cursed and broken and sinful world. Mm-hmm. I was thinking this morning before we came into the studio of what a wonderful truth it is in the scripture that God is in the process of redeeming this mm-hmm. fallen world and making all mm-hmm. things new. And in the new creation, there will not be cancer.
Amen.
There will not be death or sickness. So we're not saying that cancer is a holy thing or a good thing. What you are saying, I think, both of you, is that God has the ability by his sovereignty and his grace to transform even the fire, the effects of the curse, into mm-hmm. something that is holy and good and ends up being a blessing in our lives.
Yes.
Right. And Nancy, I'd probably go even further to say that what we're really saying is that you can trust Jesus. You can trust God because he will take us through circumstances that make no sense to us in our human fleshly understanding. Mm-hmm. And I don't think in many cases that we are going to understand this side of heaven, why something happens. I mean, I've seen, and I think we've all seen tragic situations in our lives, a teenager that's killed in a car wreck mm-hmm. or a mother that dies young, things like this that we cannot explain why that happened. We cannot see that there was any redeeming value or good come from that. And so I'm suggesting that I've had to become comfortable with the fact that there are many answers that I don't have. Mm-hmm. But this I do know, and this will carry you through. We have a God that you can trust.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It doesn't have to make sense. It may not make sense this year or 25 years from now. Margaret's saying that eventually she got to the point where she could really thank God for the circumstances that were in her life. And we may have many listeners that it may not make sense this year or next year or on down the road.
Anytime this side of eternity.
That's right. But this I know, God can be trusted.
Yes. Amen.
God can be trusted.
There's an old poem by William Cowper, and a portion of it says, blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his works in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And that is my hope, that yes, there were confusing times, times when terrors would parade by my mind at night. But ultimately, I rested on the fact that I serve a God who's in control. He says in Job 38, he says, I tell the ocean waves just how far they can come up before they have to go back again. Mm-hmm. And I found great comfort in the fact that this same sovereign God could tell the same to a cancer cell, and that God can use the fallen world to promote his plans and his purposes. And in his specific purpose was to free me through this mm-hmm. disease.
What did you do next?
Well, I did go to Dr. Knox, and she said that we would do a lumpectomy, and that we did. What happened was when I got the results of the surgery, that Dr. Knox said the margins were clear, which meant that the cancer seemed to have been contained and that they, quote unquote, got it. Well, in my mind, I was thinking, well, praise the Lord, I don't have to go through any more suffering. This was it. This was my bout with breast cancer. And then I did a follow-up with Dr. Knox, and she looked at me and said, well, now it's time to schedule your chemotherapy and your radiation. And I looked at her and I thought, well, why do we need to do that? My margins were clear. Well, I have to tell you, one of the awful tendencies of my life is to try to escape from difficult situations. And I automatically started looking for a way out.
Yeah.
And the motive of my heart was to escape the medical system so that I could find an easy way out of this thing.
Hmm.
And that's what I did. I literally dropped out of the medical system and did all kinds of alternative treatments. There was evidence that the tumor was growing. But I have to tell you, I just ignored it. I thought, well, I'm just going to continue with this alternative treatment, hoping that it works. And it got to the point where the tumor had gotten so large. I just remember sitting on my couch one day, and I realized I had a tumor that had come back. And I was terrified to make the call to Dr. Knox's office because I thought they were going to say something like, well, we told you. But, of course, they did not. And they received me back into the fold, and we got busy. Dr. Knox set me down after examining this tumor that had come back. And she gently took me by the hand and looked right into my eyes and said, Margaret, if we don't do something quickly, you're going to lose this battle. And that's what we did. We started fighting, and I did five rounds of chemo, had a mastectomy, and I had a stem cell transplant, which I'll talk more about later, and a radiation. And this is what I discovered through that. The emotion of fear is not a bad thing. God gives us that to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is to not be paralyzed through fear. You can have the emotion of fear, but if you're paralyzed, it's like looking at a red light on a dashboard and just putting a black piece of tape over it. Something's wrong under the hood, and mm-hmm. if it's not addressed, it's going to fall apart. So God gave me the grace to get back into the system and to fight, and that's exactly what we did.
Margaret, I think what you have shared is very powerful, and I think that in your instance, you were turning to alternative medicine because what medicine was offering you didn't sound very attractive.
Right.
And I think that another thing that happens commonly in the Christian community is the fact that we know we have a sovereign God. He can heal miraculously, and he certainly does that today, just like he always has. And oftentimes, a Christian patient will say, I know that this is what medicine recommends, but I have a relationship with God, and he is my healer. But let me just address that God is not constrained to heal any particular way, and he will use physicians, and he will use the chemotherapy drugs. He will use the radiation therapy treatment as his treatment plan. And going through medical treatment doesn't in any way mean that you have less faith,
right,
or that God couldn't intervene in a miraculous way. Oftentimes the miraculous way might be that he sends those chemotherapy drugs after just the right cells that we want to kill.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, oftentimes I think Christians will think, okay, I can't do this because if I go through standard medical care, I'm giving up on God. I'm giving up on my faith, when it's actually just the opposite.
Right.
It's trusting God to take you through the fire
mm-hmm.
that doesn't look very attractive and trusting him that every step of the way, he is using all of those steps to intervene miraculously. Now, it may be. I have had, as a physician, several instances where I know my patients were praying and their churches were praying, and there was a lump on the mammogram that I was pretty sure was going to be cancer, and then we go and take it out, and it's not cancer. Now, that was God's intervention. I think in a number of instances, that's truly been the case. But my opinion is, if I'm there as a physician, and it's cancer cells, then we treat it like it's cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
And God gives us wisdom. God gives us understanding as to what to do. But it doesn't have to violate our
right.
faith.
As a matter of fact, I had many, many people praying for me, and of course I am and was grateful for that. And many of them would pray the name Jehovah Rapha over me, which is God, the God who heals. But interestingly, in where we find that in Exodus 15, that was first instituted at the waters of Marah, a place of bitterness. And what I found were there worse things than cancer. There is bitterness in the soul. There is unforgiveness. There's moral impurity. There's jealousy. There's envy. Those things can eat up the soul worse than cancer can eat up a body. And when I called out to Jehovah Rapha, it was, Lord, please use this cancer. Use the chemotherapy. Use the treatments themselves to cure these deeper cancers, malignancies in my soul. And that's what I meant by the fact that God can use this suffering. The scripture says that stripes that wound scour away evil. And I believe that's what God did in my life and why I call cancer a gift. I would even call it a severe mercy. That God said, Margaret, I want you to go through this. I want to use the treatments to free you, to cure you of deeper things. But also, I want you to be able to comfort others with the same comfort wherewith I have comforted you. So it all works, of course, together for good. And God allowed me to go through the very treatments to free me in those ways.
Margaret Ashmore has been sharing with us out of her personal journey through breast cancer. And it brings to mind the phrase in the scripture that says, God brings treasures out of darkness. And that certainly is what God has done in her life. And all of us in different ways can testify to how God brings beauty and treasure and goodness out of the things that can seem to be the terrors and the darkness of our lives. We've been talking also with Dr. Sally Knox. And Dr. Knox, I just appreciate so much your perspective on the, both the medical profession and God's given you talents and gifts and understanding in that area, and how you see there's no conflict between that and a God who is all-powerful and great and wise, and that we don't have to have a conflict between our faith and utilizing resources that God may entrust to us of a medical nature.
Right.
So you've written a book that I want to encourage many of our listeners to get. It's the Breast Cancer Care Book, A Survival Guide for Patients and Loved Ones. And I just love the way that you bring together these elements of the physical, the medical process, and some very practical instruction, but also some biblical wisdom about how to walk through this journey and how to help those that you love do the same. It's a path through suffering to the heart of God. And whatever you're suffering, whether cancer or unrelated to cancer, we want to encourage you, challenge you to find your way to the heart of God through that suffering.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been talking with Margaret Ashmore. She's offered important perspective on leaning on the Lord while dealing with breast cancer. Nancy also talked with Dr. Sally Knox, author of the Breast Cancer Care Book. We'll send you a copy of this helpful resource when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size. Ask for the Breast Cancer Care Book when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959, or make your donation at reviveourhearts.com. That website, reviveourhearts.com, has been completely renovated, and it's packed full of helpful material that gets updated every day. For instance, have you taken a look at the daily transcript? You can look up everything that gets said on the air, like right now, la la la. Well, that's going on the transcript. Our team does a masterful job at enhancing the transcript. You can find scripture references not mentioned on air. You can click on links to helpful related information. And underneath the transcript, you can add your comments to the listener blog. Again, it's all at the brand new reviveourhearts.com. Now, if you visit a doctor for something like breast cancer, does it mean you don't have faith in God's power to heal? That's one of the questions you'll hear tomorrow when Sally Knox and Margaret Ashmore return. I hope you'll be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.